You had a pretty, how can I put it, energetic letter to the editor about a paper looking at care given by GYN oncologists and medical oncologists for ovarian cancer. And can you comment little bit on what's actually happening in the United States in terms of who takes care of these people and what your thoughts were about this study and the issue of kind of how the, what the differences are?
Well, the study was profoundly silly. And,
why don't you just say what you think?
Well, basically, it was remarkable. But be that as it may, basically, the study took SEER data and concluded there was more morbidity, more toxicities, bone marrow suppression, whatever, in the patients who received therapy from the medical oncologist. This is, you know, completely somebody's opinion based on no data and is not helpful. And as I said in my paper, and as I said earlier in this interview, GYN oncologists are spectacular doctors. They're spectacular people. They have an unbelievable loyalty to their patients and to their subspecialty, and they are to be honored and respected for what they do. They are surgeons who basically really care about all aspects of the care, all the way down to palliative care. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a role for medical oncologists in the area.
What do you think the ideal way is for the medical oncologists and GYN oncologists to work together on patients?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously I could tell you it's the way I've done it in my career, but that's just one model.
What is that model?
And the model is basically the GYN oncologists, depending upon what their interests, their skills, and the support services they have around them, meaning, you know, are their medical oncologists interested in GYN cancers, to work together. I mean, one could argue that with the 10, 15, 20 different types of drugs that are now available, that it becomes more difficult for an individual or a group of doctors who are trying to be, you know, the proverbial captain of the ship, being in the operating room, taking care of these patients, being available for, you know, pain management, everything that goes into this, to be an expert on all of these things. And that the idea that a medical oncologist, who, remember, is going to also have to be taught about the disease because they're not the experts that GYN oncologists are, brought into that group. And I don't mean brought into the practice, but brought into the discussions, brought into the tumor boards, learned about the disease, and they can work together as a team. So one can argue as a model is that, you know, primary chemotherapy would be given, quote, by the GYN oncologist, secondary therapy would be given by the medical oncologist.
It sort of could be like prostate cancer in terms of the urologist doing the surgery and then the primary endocrine therapy and then maybe handing the patient off.
Yeah, I mean, there are all of those models. I think the key here is that in any individual environment for medical oncologists and GYN oncologists to be working together in terms of optimizing the care for patients, to me, is the way to proceed. Now, you know, again, certain communities may not have that option. There may not be any GYN oncologists. Or in another community, there may not be any medical oncologists who are particularly interested. But if that is a possibility, I would argue that that will take advantage of both subspecialties.